أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Respected scholars, elders, my dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Continuing our reflection on the story of Yusuf, which is the 12th surah in the Holy Quran, and as we mentioned before, it is the only story in the Quran that is presented in chronological order, in a linear format. And we've come to the point in the story which we can call the seduction episode of the story. We mentioned last night that Yusuf alayhi salam was purchased in the slave market by the minister of finance. The Bible names him Potiphar. He was one of the most powerful officials in Egypt. And it just so happened that the day that he visited the market, Yusuf alayhi salam had just arrived and he was being sold. And on that day, he was about 8 years old. He was a ghulam, a young boy. The aziz, and the word aziz means someone who is noble, someone who is honorable. Aziz is not the name of the minister. It's an honorific title. So he ends up bringing Yusuf alayhi salam back to his palace, and he introduces the young Yusuf to his wife Zuleikha. And he says to her, "Akrimi mathwa," make his stay honorable, meaning treat him well, be good to him. "Asa ayyanfa'ana," this young boy, I see something in him. I think he will benefit us. He's very refined. He seems to be of noble stock. He's intelligent. He has exceptional character. He will benefit us as a member of our family, and we can adopt him as our son. The Aziz and his wife, they did not have any children. So Yusuf alayhi salam was essentially brought into the family. He functioned as a servant, but at the same time, he became the adopted son of Aziz and Zuleikha. The Quran doesn't speak to us about the next 10 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala essentially fast forwards to when Yusuf alayhi salam reaches the age of 18. We mentioned last night the Quran speaks about his coming of age, when he came into maturity. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. When he reached the age of maturity, when he became physically mature, mentally mature, emotionally mature, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him sound judgment and knowledge. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him these two gifts? Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Because Yusuf spent his youth as a muhsin, as a doer of good, he was kind to everyone in the palace. He was not rude to anyone. He was not rude to any of the other servants or slaves, even though he was the favorite of Aziz. He did not exploit his position as the favorite of Aziz. He did not mistreat any of his other any of the other servants. He was kind and respectful to everybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as a result of this ihsan, I gave him sound judgment. He reached a level of spiritual and intellectual and emotional maturity whereby whenever there was any issue or a matter that required a judgment or a decree, his judgment aligned with the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was a person of knowledge, a special knowledge that was given to him by Allah azza wa jal. Now when he first enters the palace, he's a young boy. Zulaykha sees him as a child. And she played a motherly role to Yusuf during the first few years. After all, this was her adopted son. But as Yusuf alayhi salam grew up and he became a young man, Zulaykha started to look at him differently. It began as her looking at him with a maternal gaze. She was looking at him with motherly eyes when he first came into the palace. But as he developed into a young, attractive young man, she started to look at him differently. And we mentioned that one of the reasons why she was so drawn to Yusuf is because she had a husband who was neglectful. He did not give her attention. He was not nurturing his own marriage. So you cannot blame Zulaykha entirely. Yes, this is not to justify what she did. But there is no doubt that the Aziz is also a partner in the crime that she committed. That her infidelity, he plays a role in the reason why she committed infidelity. So as he started to grow up, she started to look at him with desire. What's interesting is that Allama al-Majlisi in Bihar al-Anwar, he mentions those years, those early years, his youth. Ibn Abbas, who was one of the most prolific mufassirin of the Quran, he's a cousin of the Prophet, one of the best students of Amir al-Mu'mineen in the sciences of the Quran. He says, مَكَثَ يُوسُفُ فِي مَنْزِلِ الْمَلِكِ وَزُلَيْخَ ثَلَاثْ سِنِينَ. During the first 3 years, from the age of 8 to 11, there was no tension between Zulaykha and Yusuf. He was a young boy. And she looked at him as an adopted son. But as he grew older, when he became a young, handsome man, ثُمَّ أَحَبَّتْهُ, then she started to desire him in a very unhealthy way, in a lustful way. ثُمَّ أَحَبَّتْهُ فَرَاوَدَتْهُ. She started to make advances towards him. She started to act flirtatious with him. Rawadatu means this was something that was ongoing. She used to, what we can call, sexually harass him. She used to make inappropriate comments. She used to flirt with him. To such an extent, it is mentioned, أَنَّهَا مَكَثَتْ سَبْعَ سِنِينَ عَلَى صَدْرِ قَدَمَيْهَا. It's interesting that the narration says that she was so desperate to capture the attention of Yusuf when he was a teenager, when he was 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, that whenever he would walk into a room, she would stand on her toes, right? She would try to make herself visible to him. She would try to capture his attention. وَهُوَ مُطْرِقٌ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ لَا يَرْفَعُ طَرَفَهُ إِلَيْهَا مَخَافَةً مِّن رَبِّهِ. Ibn Abbas, he says, during those years when Yusuf was a teenager, And you have to understand, we all understand that teenagers go through this period of raging hormones. Their impulse and their desire for the opposite gender is quite strong. Ibn Abbas, he says, Yusuf alayhi salam never looked at Zulaykha. He used to always restrain his glance. And this is why she was so desperate to get his attention, to get him to notice her. But he used to lower his gaze. Why? مَخَافَةً مِنْ رَبِّ. Not because he was afraid of anyone else in the palace, because he was fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a young man of taqwa. So, Zulaykha decided that she was going to escalate her efforts. She's going to try harder now to seduce Yusuf. She's not able to gain his attention in an organic way. So what she does is, she can no longer resist the temptation. So what does she do? She makes a plan to seduce him. Now, she's living in a palace. There are maids, there are servants, her husband is there. There are government officials who are coming and going. So she has to plan for the right moment, the right time, and the right place. So one day, it seems that her husband was out of the house on business. After all, he's the minister of finance. Naturally, he's going to have meetings that he has to attend. So one day, Aziz is out of the house. And when her husband is out of the house, of course, when her husband leaves, she is the second in command. She's the second most powerful person in the palace. So she basically makes an executive decision to dismiss all of the servants and the maids who are working in the palace. She sends everyone out into the fields. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then mentions in ayah 23 of Surah Yusuf. And I want you to pay attention to the wording of the ayah. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't say, and then she seduced him. He says, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَن نَفْسِهِ. Allah says, and the lady in whose house he lived tried to seduce him. Now, rawadatu, number one, means that this is not Zulaykha's first attempt to seduce Yusuf. It was an ongoing activity for her to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, why does Allah say, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this part of the ayah, he's trying to emphasize how difficult it must have been for Yusuf. This is not just a story about a woman who's trying to seduce a man. Yusuf alayhi salam, he lived in her house. He was a slave in her house. She had power over him. He worked for her. So Yusuf alayhi salam is being seduced by someone who has power over him. This is not just an ordinary situation where a woman desires a man and that's the end of it. No. He's in a very vulnerable position. She is, on the one hand, this is his adopted mother. This is his master. He works for her. He's a slave. A slave doesn't have any rights. She is the second most powerful woman in Egypt. She's married to the minister of finance. If anything happens, it's her word against his. وراودته التي هو في بيتها عن نفسه. So Yusuf alayhi salam is a slave. And by the way, if you look at Yusuf's situation, anyone else would have justified the sin. A person would say that I'm a slave. I had no choice. If I resisted, I would be punished. I would be physically flogged. I would be imprisoned. I don't know what's going to happen to me. So Yusuf alayhi salam, as a slave, as someone who is dealing with someone who has great power over him, and Yusuf alayhi salam is also a young man. He's not married. He has desires. He's a human being. There is this natural attraction to the opposite gender. All of these factors highlight that this was a very severe test, a very difficult test. So much so that Allama Tabatabai, he says that this trial, if it was directed towards a mountain, it would have crumbled. It was a very, very difficult test. Now, on top of that, what you find is that Allah says, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. If a person wants to commit infidelity, if a person wants to commit zina, one of the greatest fears is what? Being exposed. Zulaykha, what does she do? She ensures that no one is going to find out. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. Abwab is the plural of bab. He doesn't just lock one door. He doesn't just lock the door of the room that they are in. He locks a number of doors that lead to the room that they are in. So she gives him this assurance that no one is going to find out. Now, anyone else who's in this type of position, they would succumb to the pressure. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ. She desires him. Usually it's the other way around. He's a young man, but no, she is the one who desires him. She is the master, he is the slave. She has all the power, he has no rights. His shelter, his food, all of his needs are given to him by this woman and her husband. He is completely financially dependent upon her. And she has not, there is no escape. What does Yusuf alayhi salam do? She locks all of the doors. And she says to him, it is narrated in Bihar al-Anwar, Allama al-Majlisi, he mentions that one day, either this was the same incident or an earlier occasion, فَقَالَتْ يَوْمًا اِرْفَعْ طَرْفَكَ وَانْظُرْ إِلَيْهِ. Zulaykha notices that Yusuf always has his glance down. He never looks at her. He never raises his head. One day she says to him, lift your eyes and look at me. Yusuf alayhi salam, what does he say? قَالَ أَخْشَى الْعَمَى فِي بَصَرِي. I'm afraid that the Lord who gave me sight, I'm afraid that if I use it in a way that displeases him, he'll take this ni'mah away from me. Why should I use my eyes in a way that displeases my Lord? I fear that Allah will remove my sight. And even worse, I fear that he will take away my insight, my basira. قَالَتْ مَا أَحْسَنَ عَيْنَيْكَ. He then begins to flirt with him. She says, oh Yusuf, how beautiful your eyes are. She compliments his eyes. Yusuf alayhi salam, what does he say? Does he say, thank you very much, I appreciate it? No. قَالَ هُمَا أَوَّلُ سَاقِطٍ عَلَى خَدِّي فِي قَبْرِي. Yusuf alayhi salam, he says, my eyes will be the first thing that fall out of my head when I am in the grave. They are the first body parts that will decompose because they are very, very delicate. These eyes that you say are beautiful, they will be the first ones to disintegrate in the ground when I'm in the grave. قالت ما أطيب ريحك O Yusuf, how beautiful is your fragrance. You smell very good. قال عليه السلام لو شممت رائحتي بعد ثلاث من موتي لهربت مني. Yusuf عليه السلام, he says to her that if you were to smell the body, if you were to smell my body 3 days after I die, you would flee from me. What happens after a person dies? After a few days, you cannot even tolerate being in the same room as a janazah because of the smell. So what is he doing? She wants to engage in haram. He is reminding her of death. He's reminding her of the akhirah. He's trying to make her mindful of the fact that there is a world beyond this world in which we will be held accountable. And then she says to him, قالت لما لا تقرب مني. Why don't you at least come close to me? Why don't you come and sit next to me? قال عليه السلام أرجو بذلك القرب من ربي. By staying away from you, I hope to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By removing myself from you, by distancing myself from you, I hope to attain closeness and nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قالت فراشي الحرير. My bed sheets are very soft. They're made out of silk. 5,000 thread, 10,000 thread. فَقُمْ وَقْضِ حَاجَتِي. Come and fulfill my desires. قَالَ أَخْشَى أَن يَذْهَبَ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ نَصِيبِي. I'm afraid that if I go to you and I sit on this comfortable bed, I will lose my share of paradise in the akhirah. I will incur a great loss. قَالَتْ أُسَلِّمُكَ إِلَى الْمُعَذِّبِينَ. She says, I will send you to my guards and they will punish you. Imagine, Zulaykha is threatening Yusuf with physical violence if he does not succumb to her seduction. She says, I'll get my guards to abuse you, to punish you. قال عليه السلام إذن يكفيني ربي. Allah will suffice me. You threaten to harm me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me. In ayah 23, after she removes everyone from the palace and she locks all of the doors, and the Quran says that she said to him, Hayta lak. This is the only time in the Quran where this expression is used. It's a very unusual word. And the Mufassirin of the Quran, they say that the reason why this word is used, Hayta lak, which is a very uncommon word, is because she was using very vulgar language when she was speaking to Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, what is the reaction of Yusuf? How does he respond to this? Ayah 23, قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. He seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He realizes the difficulty of this situation. He doesn't rely on his own efforts. He invokes the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of us have developed this habit when we are confronted with temptation? How many of us remember Allah? How many of us say, A'udhu billah? This is when we should seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should not rely on our own willpower. We need to invoke the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. I seek refuge with Allah. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken care of me. I am the same Yusuf who, when he was thrown in the well and he was abandoned by his own family, and I was in that dark well for 3 days, Allah was the one who rescued me. Allah was the one who took me out of the well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who managed my affairs. And I was purchased by your husband, and I came and lived in this palace. I could have ended up anywhere, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind to me. Allah has been so good to me. How can I betray my Lord, who has looked after me, who has taken care of me? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Someone who does dhulm will never be successful. In that moment, you might try to make justifications. Let me just give in so I don't lose my job. Let me just give in so I'm not punished. Let me just give in so I'm not chastised. If I just give in, I'll succeed at my job. I'll make it. I'll get the promotion. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمِينَ. If you do dhulm against yourself, against others, you will never attain success. You might receive a short-term advantage, but long-term, you will be at loss. You cheat during an exam. Yeah, you might pass the exam, but Allah will not put barakah in the job that you get. Yes, you might lie on your resume. You might get the job, but in the end, you won't succeed. What you will lose will be greater. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah does not make ظَالِمِينَ successful. You might think that they've succeeded, but your vision is very narrow. Yes, they might gain some short-term advantages, but in the long term, they will fail. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمِينَ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does He say? وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا. He intended, she was resolved to commit the haram act with him. She was determined to commit infidelity. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهَا. She was very ambitious. She was determined to sleep with Yusuf alayhi salam. وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. And Yusuf alayhi salam, he would have also desired her if, this is a big if, we put 100 lines under if, he would have desired her if it were not for the fact that he was able to witness the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it wasn't for his ma'rifah of Allah, he would have given in. He's a human being. But he did not desire her. He did not give in. Why? Because he witnessed the magnificence of his Lord. He witnessed the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the same Yusuf that Allah gave hukman wa ilma. Allah gave him knowledge. Meaning that Yusuf alayhi salam has full understanding of the reality of these actions. To him, they are not appealing because Yusuf sees the real face of sin. She desired him because she's an ignorant person. She doesn't understand the abhorrent nature of sin. But Yusuf alayhi salam, the one who has been given this knowledge, this divine knowledge, this Yusuf who is among the muhsineen, he understood how abhorrent sinning is. And he had no desire. وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. There's a narration from Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi. Allah SWT. Where Imam al-Sadiq, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will present a decisive case against all people who committed zina on the day of judgment, who used to look lustfully at the opposite gender, who used to commit haram with the opposite gender because of how attractive they are. And this is a trial. You know, sometimes we think beauty is a ni'mah. Beauty is also a trial. Many of us would not be able to pass the test that we would face if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us more attractive than we are. Imam al-Sadiq, he says, تُؤْتَى بِالْمَرْأَةِ الْحَسْنَاءِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الَّتِي قَدْ افْتُتِنَتْ فِي حُسْنِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, he will bring forward all of those women who were beautiful and whose beauty was a burden on them, in the sense that their beauty led them towards haram. They used to get so much attention from the opposite gender that they ended up compromising their modesty. فتقول يا رب حسنت خلقي حتى لقيت ما لقيت. Oh Allah, you are the one who made me beautiful. You're the one who gave me beautiful hair, beautiful eyes. You gave me a beautiful shape. And because of my beauty, I faced a lot of harassment and I got a lot of attention from the opposite gender. And this is what led me down this path whereby I compromised my chastity. So the argument will be that, oh Allah, I couldn't resist. I was always the center of attention. I was always the most beautiful. And I could not resist the temptation and the attention that I got because of my beauty. Imam al-Sadiq says, فَيُجَاءُ بِمَرْيَمْ. Allah will not accept this excuse. He will bring Maryam alayha salam. فَيُقَالْ أَنْتِ أَحْسَنُ أَمْ هَذِهِ. These beautiful women on the day of judgment, Allah will have them stand and he will bring Maryam. And he will say to them, who is more attractive, you or Maryam? And they will say, Maryam alayhi salam. Maryam was a very attractive woman. She was a beautiful woman. Allah will say, قَدْ حَسَّنَّاهَا فَلَمْ تُفْتَتَنْ. Why is it that Maryam was stunningly beautiful, yet she never compromised her chastity? So the beauty of Maryam on the day of judgment will be a hujjah against those women who say that our beauty led us down the path of temptation. And then the Imam says, وَيُجَاءُ بِالرَّجُلِ الْحَسَنِ الَّذِي قَدْ افْتُتِنَ فِي حُسْنِ. And on the day of judgment, Allah will bring all of the handsome men, those men who, because of their attractiveness, it was a lot easier for them to commit haram, to compromise their modesty. فَيَقُولْ يَا رَبِّ حَسَّنْتَ خَلْقِي حَتَّى لَقِيتُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَا لَقِيتُ. Oh Allah, they will say, those handsome, attractive men on the day of judgment, they will say, oh Allah, you are the one who made me attractive. You are the one who made me handsome. And women were all over me. And I couldn't fend them off. So the hadith says, فَيُجَاءُ بِيُوسُفْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring Yusuf as a hujjah. وَيُقَالْ أَنْتَ أَحْسَنُ أَمْ هَذَا. Who is more attractive, you or Yusuf? And the men will say, Yusuf is more attractive. So Allah will say, why is it that Yusuf was able to preserve his chastity, but you were not? So Allah Azza wa Jal will use Yusuf alayhi salam as a hujjah against all of those handsome men who compromised their modesty and their chastity. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءَ وَالْفَحْشَى. In that way, we diverted away from Yusuf all evil and all fahsha. Fahsha are sins of a sexual nature. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear that Yusuf alayhi salam was perfectly innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. He never sent any mixed signals to Zulaykha. He was completely innocent and pure. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِنَا الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yusuf is one of our servants who is among the mukhlasin. Mukhlas is different from mukhlis. Mukhlis is someone who is sincere. Mukhlas is someone who is higher than that. There are two qualities that I want to mention about mukhlasin, and inshallah we'll conclude. Allah says Yusuf is among the mukhlasin, meaning he is one of my chosen servants. He's not just someone who is sincere. His sincerity has reached a level whereby I have chosen him to be a moral exemplar for humanity. Now, what does it mean to be among the mukhlasin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that mukhlasin are protected from the influence of shaitan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Sad, he quotes shaitan. قَالَ فَبِعِزَّتِكَ لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمْ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Shaitan says, oh Allah, by your majesty, I will cause all of them to deviate except your servants, the mukhlasin. Yusuf is among the mukhlasin, the one who shaitan is not able to misguide, not because he doesn't have free will, but because he has this ilm. He witnesses the magnificence of his Lord. He understands the reality of sin. And the second quality that I want to mention to you about mukhlasin is that they are the only ones in the Quran who describe God in a way that is fitting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Safat, he says, Subhanallah amma yasifun. Glory be to Allah. He is high above what they ascribe to him. Human beings have a tendency to attribute things that are inappropriate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most people, if they try to describe Allah, they will not do justice to Allah. They will describe him in a way that compromises his majesty and his omnipotence. But there is an exception. There is one group who always describe Allah in a way that is befitting for his majesty. Subhanallah amma yasifun illa ibadallah al-mukhlasin. The only group of people who understand God, who speak about him in a way that is fitting, are mukhlasin. You and I, if it wasn't for Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen and Yusuf and Musa, you and I, we would describe Allah in a way that would lower his majesty. But the only people who have full ma'rifah of Allah are the mukhlasin. And hence, Allah chose them to teach us about him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and to guide us and to illuminate our hearts with the teachings of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin.